everybody doing today? Good to see y'all. Glad that you're here. Excited for what God's doing in our church and in people's lives. It's really cool. And y'all know that we're in the middle of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if you're doing that with us, thank you so much. Let me just say, it makes a huge difference when we take time out of our lives and we say, Lord, we recognize it's not even ours, it's yours, and we pray. Thank you all for doing that. I want to say also welcome to y'all this morning. I'm glad that you are here. If it is your first time, my name is Todd. I'm the pastor. And I'm just happy to be here, and I hope you are as well. If you are a guest, here's what we ask. All we ask is that you take the card in front of you and the seat back, the connection card. If you can fill that out and put it in the offering, that's our opportunity to connect with you. And also, we send you something really cool in the mail that I think you'll enjoy. In fact, people will often come up and ask us where we got it because it's so cool. That's the first thing. I've got three things this morning. Here's the second one. We have a growth track at our church. Here's the point of grow. It is our growth track. Man, my heart as a pastor, y'all hear a boominess? Because I hear it. No? Okay, I'm just going crazy. It's all right. Everybody else is right. It's finally happened. The reason that we have Grow is to connect people with their purpose and why God created them. And the first week is all about what it means to follow Christ and be a Christian. The second week is all about connecting to God and then connecting to godly people. Because you connecting to godly people makes all the difference. Because let me tell you, your mama, your daddy, your grandmother, they were all right. You'll become who you hang out with. So hang out with some people who have a heart for God, who want to do the right thing. They're probably like you, but they're seeking God. This week, my wife and I are leading Grow, and it is right after service today. It's in the theater room, which is directly behind us. There's double doors back this way. Food, child care is provided, and it's really cool because Lisa and I, she was just there. Oh, there she is. We get to tell our story about why God, we don't really know why he brought us here. We're just very grateful that he did, but how we came here and what it means to be a part of a body of believers. So that's the second thing. Here's the third one. We are starting Restart Groups this week. I hope y'all are excited. Come on, are y'all? Y'all got to show me some love. We got a bunch of people leading groups, and I could tell you story after story about why they're so impactful, but I really just want to show you a video that, for me, clearly brings home how important it is to be a part of a community of people who love God and to have not just a community but a spiritual family that you can lean on. So if we can show the video of Clay and Des, I think y'all enjoy it.
I'm Clay Politz and this is my wife Des, and we're here to talk about small groups.
When we first found small groups in our life, we were part of a church where we knew people and we'd go on Sunday mornings, but we weren't really going deep with people. And it was in a small group that we really found relationships that became family to us. Our very best friends we met. We've been married for 10 years and we met them in the first small group we were ever a part of 10 years ago. And we've done just all kinds of ministry with them, and it's just been an incredible journey.
You would never think that going to a small group, you would meet people that you would travel the world with, that you would share parenting tips with and help raise each other's kids and just do this, do life together with. Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
Pastor Todd always talks about how real the enemy is, and the enemy would love to come in and isolate you, but the Lord sees you and he knows you and he has a place for you. You know, sometimes it might feel intimidating. That first small group we ever went to, we almost didn't go inside because there were so many cars in the driveway.
If we would have never went to that group, if we would have turned around, we wouldn't even be here. Mm-hmm. Not alive here, but here.
It's kind of dramatic.
We wouldn't even be here.
Yeah. It's so worth it, and the Lord has a place for you. His heart is for community, for you to be in community and do life together with other people. So just trust him, pray that he leads you to a group that's good for you, and just, say yes,
Come on, that's pretty cool. We can give those folks a hand. Get in a life-giving group. It brings community, it builds spiritual family, and if you hang out here, you'll hear us talk about spiritual family because there's such a thing. We all have biological family, but there's a spiritual family of people who come together, whose lives have been transformed, who are in a journey and a process, and what God has called them to, And when you connect with them, there's something that happens, and it's family, and it's healthy, and it's good. Get plugged in. I'm glad that y'all are here. Are y'all ready for? Good. I am too. That was all four of you. Thank you. Are y'all ready for a restart? Whew. How many of y'all made some New Year resolutions? Come on, anybody? Come on, kudos to y'all if you made New Year's resolutions. That's great. Did you know statistically, this is a fact, that men, they keep their New Year's resolutions more than women do? Who's laughing? That's true. It's a fact. It's a statistical fact. Men keep them more. That's actually true. So men, come on, we're doing something right, aren't we? Keeping our resolutions. Yeah, it's because we keep the bar really low, though. Women are like, this year I think I want to learn how to play concert piano and speak Mandarin Chinese. Men are like, I want to know like what happened to the game last night. That's my resolution. It's a whole lot easier. The reality is that there's something about a new season and a new year that we all want a new start. And if you've been like me, like there are just some times when it seems like you go through seasons where nothing works out. Have y'all ever been in those seasons? It's not a fun season where you're working, but it seems like nothing works out. So we have at our office this really big contraption of a printer. I'm not a techie at all. I mean, I like technology and hate it all at the same time. Secretly, though I love electricity, kind of wish that, like, man, the grid would break down and we'd all have no electricity. I know, I'm old school. I like old school and backpacking, and I love all that stuff. But we have this big contraption of a printer that for some reason, and Pastor Josh, he was on base today, he's constantly making fun of me saying anything I touch technologically, it breaks. It's kind of true. But I have problems with that printer. Me and that printer are at odds with each other, and like it won't print when I want it to print. And then it has like job spooling, job pending. I hate you, Todd. It has all these messages. It's terrible. And I have to do something. I have to turn the printer off. I have to turn my computer off. Restart both of them. Why? Because nothing seems to be coming out right. Man, that's what Restart is designed for six areas. For the next 6 weeks, starting today, this is what you'll hear. How to have a restart in your walk with God. How to have a restart in your identity. How to have a restart in your purpose. How to have a restart in your resources, your finances. How to restart after failure. How to restart in your relationships. And this is a series that's much more than just a series of sermons. My prayer, my heart, is that you genuinely seek after God, because when you seek after God and you say, Lord, make me new in this area, he does. It's Revelation 21:5. Jesus sits on the throne and he's saying, behold, I'll make all things new. That's what he says. He says, I make all things new. And we can have in all of those areas of our life a restart and a new beginning. That's my passion. That's my prayer for you guys today. And so I want to start with asking you this question. Where do you stand with God? Where do you stand with God? I think there's four places that people stand. And the first one is this. You're secure, but you're not sure. That just means that there has been a moment in your life where you've had the spiritual light bulb go off, and you recognize, and it's by the leading of God's Spirit in your life, your eyes are open to see, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't just some guy. He really was the Son of God. God, you know me. God, you love me. God, I'm messed up, but I give all of that brokenness, all of my sin to you. I want you. I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus. And you've made that commitment. You're secure in the fact that you are God's child, that he loves you. He has a place for you, reserved for you after you die in eternity with him in heaven. But you struggle with this surety of knowing that you are God's and he loves you. That you wrestle with this worthiness. How can God love me because I've screwed up so many times? How can God reach his hand out to me over and over and over again because I just messed things up over and over and over again? And there's a security in your relationship with God, but there's an unsurety that you doubt if God loves you really and truly like you read in the Bible or you know that he says. You struggle with that. There's a lack of security in your walk with God, even though your heart and your soul was very sincere in that moment where you surrendered to God. You're secure, but you're not sure. There's worthiness issues. That's one place where people stand. The second one is this. They're sure, they're just not secure. In other words, I'm a good person. I know that at the end of my life, because I've worked really hard, I've tried to do good things and be a good person, I just really believe that the scales of justice are going to be in my favor and that the good deeds are going to outweigh the bad. See, the problem with that is that, try as we may, we can't really be a good person all of the time, can we? We can try. And so you may be really sure, man, I'm standing right with God because I'm working really hard to be so. But the reality is that we don't make ourselves right with God. He makes us right in the gift that he has for us and why Jesus came. So you're sure, but you're actually not God. Can y'all hear me? I am cutting out. Great. Okay, I don't know what the deal is. The third thing, you're not sure and you're not secure. In other words, you're like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you're here and just looking, you're going, I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, my walk with God, my relationship with God, where do I stand with God? I don't know. I got no clue. Not real sure about that. Okay, got it. It's a place of honesty. Here's the fourth place, though, and it's my prayer for everyone here, that you are secure and you're sure, that you know, man, I am in a relationship with God. He knows me. He loves me. I am sure that there is nothing that I'm going to be able to do that's going to be able to separate me from the love of God. It's Romans 8:39. There's nothing that can separate us from that. And not only am I sure that I'm never going to be separated from that love, but I'm secure in my relationship with him because it's where it's supposed to be. Out of the first three, I'm not real focused on those three. You know what I am focused on? That everybody here gets to the place where you're number four, where you are secure in your walk and relationship with God because you've given him everything and you're sure of his love for you and the purpose for which he created you. I'm going to have to get another mic, I think. Can y'all give me a handheld? I need another mic. Thank you, sir.
I don't know if this one was broken or what, but it's all taped up.
So here's the question that I have. How is someone made right with God? So that fourth state of being sure and secure, they know I'm secure in my relationship with God, and I am sure of his purpose, his plan, and his love for me. I want you to know that. I want you to know how to become right with God. I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke 23. If you have your physical Bible, that's great. If you have an app, that's awesome. I use the YouVersion app. It's a great one. If you don't have a Bible, a physical Bible, we're happy to get you one. Just contact the office. You can do that online. But I want us to look at Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 32 through 43. This is the chapter where Jesus is crucified. But he's not crucified alone. He's crucified with people on his right and his left. They're two men, they're two criminals who have been convicted of crimes. And we see the dialogue between these two men and Jesus. Two others, verse 32, both criminals were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. And this next few verses aren't on the screen, but I want you to follow along in your Bible. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And the crowd watched and the leaders scoffed. "He saved others," they said. "Let him save himself if he's really God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers mocked him too by offering a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." And a sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the king of the Jews." Then we pick it back up in verse 39. It says, "One of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed." So we have one of these criminals, one of the two, one on either side of Jesus. This one scoffs and he says, "So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too while you're at it." He's scoffing Jesus. But the other criminal protested, "Don't you fear God even when you've been sentenced to die? We deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you,
today you will be with me in paradise. I think we can see out of this chapter and out of this passage of scripture how we can be right with God. But for me, it poses three questions that I want you to be able to answer very clearly. And here is the first one. Do you see your need? Do you see your need? Do you know where you stand? Do you know really who you are when you're left to your own devices? Do you see the need for you to go before God and humbly say, "This is who I am"? I believe you're here because you want to be a good person. But if you think that in your own strength you will ever get to the place where you are actually going to be a good person because of your will and your determination and your mindset of, "I'm going to do the right thing all the time." See, the problem with that is that we can't do the right thing all of the time because we are broken humans. And every time that we fall short, do you know what it's called? It's called sin. It's sin, and it's what separates us from God, but it was never his desire for us to be separated from him. In fact, we see God's heart for humanity from Genesis all the way to Revelation. In Genesis, when Adam and Eve are placed in a perfect world that was created for them, yet there was a choice that they had to make. Do I eat from the tree of life, as God said, or do I eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And God told them, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why would he even put that tree there? You ever wonder that? Geez, God, why'd you do that? That's kind of ridiculous. Why'd you put a tree and then say, don't eat from that? It looks like I should be able to eat it. It looks like good fruit. Why? Because love always requires a choice. Nobody wants to be married at a shotgun wedding by force. God doesn't force us in any area of our life. He gives us the ability to choose him. And when Adam and Eve chose poorly, the curse of sin entered the world, and it broke the world and it broke them. But God, in his compassion, covered the outward manifestation of their sin, their nakedness that they hadn't seen before. He covered them with skins of an animal. And it was the blood of that animal that was shed to cover their sins. Jesus became the last living sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. But we have to be willing to be covered and clothed in his righteousness. But we got to see that we need it. Do you know that you need that? It is easy to think, well, I'm good enough. I know I messed up, but like I'm going to try harder. I'm going to work harder. The problem is one sin destroys the whole thing. One sin. One sin. Anybody here ever lied? Just even a small lie, white lie, okay? Anybody here ever stolen something, even if it's something as simple as you were working an hourly job and you took a little break when you shouldn't have, that's stealing from your employer? We've probably all stolen. Most of you, in some form or fashion, you've cheated. I've played cards with Pastor Tom. I understand what that feels like. So if you answered yes to any of those questions, do you know what that makes you? A liar, a cheater, a thief. If I'm honest, the biggest struggle that I've had has been idolatry. Where I know that God is supposed to be, that Jesus is supposed to be sitting on the throne of my heart and my life. But as I look back, there are times when I put either an inanimate object, like a motorcycle, or a musical instrument like a guitar or a bass or a gun or a shotgun, or I put a person in a relationship, or I put myself on the throne of my own heart. Do you see your need? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In my own strength, I can only be good for a little while before I mess up. Why is that? Because of the brokenness and sin in Todd Schumacher. But when I came, even as an 8-year-old kid, really, what what terrible thing could I have done as an 8-year-old kid? But I had a revelation that, wait a minute, I'm broken. I want to do the right thing, but I can't. I know where I've messed up. And God, by his Spirit, spoke to me and just convicted me and drew me to him. And it wasn't something that made me feel like I was unworthy and unloved and no good. I was very aware of my shortcomings. But the conviction of God draws us to him. It's the enemy in condemnation that when he reminds us, when the devil reminds us of all of our shortcomings, flaws, and sins, we feel unworthy and we feel like we can't go before God. That is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is able to, at the same time, identify and highlight our shortcomings and yet also cover us in love and hope and draw us to him. That's my prayer for you today, is that we see we have a need, that the light bulb goes off. And here's the thing. I want you to get it. Like, I want you to get the revelation, because here's the truth. As a pastor, I can see when people get it and when people don't. It's the craziest thing in the world. I never experienced it before until I started speaking to people and started pastoring. That I can look out and I can tell who's getting it. Like the light bulb's going off. Like the Holy Spirit's dealing with them. And bing, the light bulb goes on. And they go, wait a minute. And I can see God by his Spirit dealing with people in their heart. And then I can also see those that are just like, whew, like washed over. It's just going, whew. Can I just say, we decide if we're going to get it in our pursuit of him. Do you see your need? How do I get to the place where I'm right with God? You have to know that you need him. You need him. You need him. You can live life in your own strength, and you can do some really cool stuff. But let me just say that you'll never get to the place of fulfillment for the reason that you were born outside of the hand of God. You'll never get to the place of true righteousness. You'll never get to the place of true purity outside of him. Do you see your need? Here's the second question I want to ask you. I don't get right with God. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know who Jesus is? Yeah, I know who Jesus is. There are many people who understand Jesus through the lens of history. They have a historical understanding of Jesus. It is only the pseudo-intellectual who will actually doubt whether or not there was a person who lived named Jesus of Nazareth. Because history is very firm on the fact that there was a man who lived that was from the village of Nazareth in modern day Israel. It was also ancient Israel. It is very clear. But here's the thing. Do you know him more than historically? Some people know him more than historically. They know him and embrace him philosophically. You remember the WWJD bands? What would Jesus do? In other words, you understand philosophically, like Jesus was a good man and we should do what he did. There's a philosophy of behavior there that we look at and go, well, I should emulate that and be like that. But can I tell you, you embracing philosophically Jesus is not going to get you to the place where you're right with God. You knowing him historically isn't going to get you to the place where you're right with God. Can I say this as well? You knowing Jesus religiously, like I go to church, I pray in his name, that doesn't mean that you're going to be right with God. In fact, Jesus himself said, listen, many people are going to come to me and say, what are you talking about? We knew you. We even cast out devils and demons in your name. And I'll say to them, depart from me. You never knew me. That's scary stuff. When's the last time you was casting out demons in Jesus' name? I'm just saying. And can I say this? Jesus says to them, depart from me? You don't know me? We have to have a personal revelation and a relationship with him. How do I get to the place where I'm right with God? You have to see that you have a need for him. Not just a one-time need. At the moment of conversion, I needed him, and now I'm fixed, and like I got Jesus, and I'm going to heaven, and like that. No, you need him today. For those of you that have been serving God all your life, you're like, I was born in a church, and I've been here ever since. Okay, great. Let me remind you, you need him today. You need him right now in this moment. You need to know who he is right now in this moment, that he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. In Matthew chapter 16, we see this interaction with Jesus and his closest followers. And he says to the 12 disciples who are with him, he says, hey guys, who are people saying that I am? And they start joking and say, man, some say you're a prophet of old. Some say you're Elijah. And Jesus, in Matthew 16, 15, he says this, "Who do you say that I am?" And then from a place of sincerity and really a place of revelation, Peter speaks up, and in the next verse, he says, "You were the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says something really interesting in the following verse. He says, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Spirit of God." You can say a prayer, "Jesus, forgive me for my sin, I'm sorry, I give my life to you," and have no revelation with it. It was just something that you said because somebody told you to say something. There is a difference between that and you praying from the depths of your heart, "God, forgive me, I see where I've been, I know myself, I know my sin, and I have had a revelation of who you are, and I need you, God, and I surrender my life to you. Father, I'm yours." You do realize that when Jesus was tempted by the devil quoted scripture to him. The devil can speak scripture just like you. I hope I'm not getting too heavy here, am I? We've got to have a revelation and a real relation. How do I know I'm right with God? Because I know where I am in my own strength. How do I know that I'm right with God? Because I know who Jesus is. He's not just the Savior of the world. He's my Savior because he saved me from my sin, from myself. He's my Messiah because he delivers me from myself, and that he lights my path and I walk the way that he's called me to walk, because I know that he's leading me to the place of peace. I love Google Maps. Anybody else here love Google Maps? I'm addicted to Google Maps. I'll spend probably an inordinate amount of time looking at Google Maps. Not because I'm like on the road and I need some directions, but because I'll be like, "Huh, I read that article in the news. Where was I looking at?" Oh, this morning I was looking at Henrietta, Texas. I'm like, "Henrietta, Texas, all right, where's that at? I don't know where that is. I'm going to zoom in there. Let's get Street View, because Street View seems pretty cool. Man, there's not much in Henrietta, Texas." I love being able to see the big picture, and I can route a route to Henrietta, Texas, and I did. It was 7 hours and 2 minutes. Da-dink, Henrietta, Texas. Well, that's a good ways from here. But let me tell you what, when we follow God, and when we say, "Lord, I know who I am, and I don't want to walk my own path. God, I trust, Jesus, I trust you that you are my light." Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No one comes to the Father but by me. Father, I trust you, Jesus, I trust you. You know, there's a difference. I like Google Maps because I like seeing the big picture, but there's one thing about Google Maps I hate. You know what it is? When you route that thing and then you like hit the little button and it tells you where to go. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Because I think that person lying to me it's a woman's voice. And I'm like, "Lady, you were lying to me when I'm putting in my coordinates. Boom, I want to go to Henrietta, Texas. Take a right." And I start thinking to myself, "Really, a right? Because I don't think you know these roads as well as I know them." Nobody else here struggles with following the GPS and Google Maps? Come on, you're not the only one. Tell me I'm not the only one who thinks that person inside of there is lying to me. There's an ulterior motive. Like, you want to take me out somewhere? I'm just, I know y'all probably thought that. Pastor Tom said that he changed his to a man so he knew he'd be telling the truth. Am I lying? It's terrible. Oh, it was a joke, but it's really funny and true. We have to be willing. When we say, "Jesus, you are my Lord, there's no one else on the throne of my heart." Here's the thing that we have to be okay with, that he leads us. Because he doesn't give us oftentimes the overall picture. He may have a destination, and instead of saying Henrietta, Texas, he may be, "Well, it's just Texas and it's over here somewhere. Trust me as you turn left." And if you're like me, you don't like that sometimes. Come on. You have to know he loves you, he knows you, that there is security and surety in your heart because you trust God. You know you need him. You really make him king of your life. And the third question, it's the last question. It's a big one. Have you experienced his grace? Have you experienced? I don't deserve to be standing up here. I know Todd Schumacher, and I know him in his weaknesses and in his strengths. And even in the strongest I've ever been in my life with me, I am not worthy of standing up. But let me tell you, thank goodness that I'm not able, that I'm not standing up here of my own volition, of my own determination, but it is God by his grace that has placed me in a life that I feel like I don't deserve, that I don't deserve the life that I have and the wife that I have and the kids that I have and the church that I have, because I know me at my best and it still falls short. But thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your goodness, that God, that you, in spite of me, have reached down and you've exalted me to the place that I have an amazing family and an amazing church and amazing friends, and I am so grateful. Let me just remind you this, when you experience grace, it is always accompanied by humility. I would say you have to have a humility first to get to the place of grace, and you have to have grace to get to the place of humility. You'll ruminate on that later, but let me just say this, this is grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches. One of my life verses, it's become a life verse, is John 10:10. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. We get God's riches. We get the best in our relationships. We get the best in the purpose that he's called us to and the people that he places in our lives. God's riches at Christ's expense. So you today get to decide which thief you are on either side of the cross. The one who scoffed at Jesus and said, I thought you were the Messiah. Why don't you do something amazing so that you can get us down from here? Because a lot of people look at Jesus that way. Even a lot of religious people will look at him and they'll use Jesus' name almost as an incantation demanding that he do something. Are you the person that says, Jesus, like, when are you going to show up? I thought you were the Messiah. Why don't you do something miraculous and get us down from this place? Or are you the thief on the other side that says, don't you know? Don't you even fear God? He was the righteous one. He is the righteous one. Because when you turn and you say, Lord, like that thief that said, I deserve this. When you turn to him, he speaks to you. Today you'll be with me in paradise and we receive his grace. It's really cool. That's why we're doing Restart, so that we can be filled with his grace and walk through his grace. I've got three things that I want to challenge you to today before we dismiss. And we're going to have baptism in a minute, but I'm excited about that. But let me just challenge you to three things. Here they are. Number one, I challenge you to attend church for the next 6 weeks. Take this seriously. Go, I really want to seek after God and attend. Attend church for the next 6 weeks. This week is restarting your walk with God. Next week is your identity. I'm really excited about it because it's good. The next challenge, engage in your Restart devotional every day. Corresponding with every one of our messages is a devotional guide. We have these available in the hallway right as you exit, in the sanctuary hallway. We have them available in front of the ticket booth on the inside in the foyer. Get a book. We have them at each of the small group tables. And let me say that it's actually really good. We put a lot of effort and a lot of work into this. If you'd like to help cover cost, it cost us $5 a book to do it. You're welcome. We'd appreciate it. Thank you. But you don't have to. You can just take one. Why are we investing in something like this? Because I know that when you seek God and you pursue him, real life change happens. And it's not a book, and it's not a pastor, and it's not a church. It's God, because you've sought him. I just want to help you have a tool that'll help you do that. And here's the third thing. Join or host a small group. It's not too late to host a small group in your neighborhood, with family members, with friends, at work. You say, well, I don't think I can host one this time, but I can join one. Join one. Get connected with people. Why? Because the people that you surround yourself will help you. They'll help pick you up when you're down. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Go read it. So this is my challenge, attend church for the next 6 weeks. get a devotional guide. If you can't pay the $5, that you don't even have to do it today, even if you can, just grab one, get one. If you have a friend that needs one, pick one up for them. We've already printed them. We're not going to be doing the sermon series next year, I doubt. So we want everyone who can have one to have one. And if you can't afford it, I don't care. Pick it up for free. My heart is that you know where you stand. You're secure and you're sure. Let's bow our heads. If you're here and you know that this message was for you today, and that you just struggle with your security and your surety and your walk and your relationship with God, and that question, where do I stand with God? Maybe I'm at the place of unsurety, or maybe the place I'm not really sure. Let me just say, you can be sure when you come to the revelation, it's not about you. When you come to the place where you say, Lord, I surrender all to you. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know I need a restart in my walk with God. For some of you, you may have been serving God for a long time, but you know it's time to seek him more than you ever have. For some of you, you say, I'm at the place where I never knew God could even know me, but I feel him tugging on my heart today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know this is for me. I want to get to the place of security and surety, and I know this was for me today. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are. I want to pray for you. Thank you. There's hands all over this place. We're going to pray together out loud, just right where you are. You can just pray right after me. Say, Dear God, I surrender all to you. I give you my life, good and bad. I see my sin and shortcomings, and I surrender them to you. I ask you to forgive me. Jesus, make me clean. Jesus, make me new. I'm yours. In your name I pray. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Can we give those folks a hand? Last thing, let me encourage you. Take this little invite card that's on the seat back in front of you. Invite somebody, because we're praying this year that we see tons, literally hundreds of people come to know Christ. It's not a pipe dream either. We saw almost 170 give their life to Christ last year. We saw almost 160 of them baptized. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? Pastor Tom will talk about that in a minute. So Pastor Tom, why don't you come on up? Y'all can give him a hand. It's been an honor being up here. Love you guys.
All right. Give it over, Pastor Todd. Good message. You all knew better than that. Clap for Pastor Todd. He did a good job. He talked through all your clicking of the binders and everything like that. So if you haven't clicked your binder, go ahead and close it now. But y'all, thank you all for coming. We appreciate it. If you guys are getting baptized today, you guys go ahead and leave right now. If you're leading a group, you need to be at your table to hand out cookies and things to attract people to your group. Go ahead and hand those out now. Man, it's a good Sunday, isn't it? Man, for praise and worship to right now, man, God has been good, right? And it's not over yet because people have yet to be baptized. And so like Pastor Todd said, we have seen over 150 people baptized here at this church last year. Come on. You guys knew better than that. If you don't like clapping in church, you're going to hate heaven. I'm going to tell you that. I don't know if you clap in heaven, but I will. I'll clap in heaven. I'll tell you guys about a couple of things. Number one is, if you've made your commitment to Christ for the very first time, or recommit your life to Christ, or you have a prayer need that you need to have met, I want you to take that card out in front of you guys. As we're about to pick up offering, you guys can fill it out too. I want you guys to fill out that card. Let us know that what your need is. Let us know what's going on so that we as pastors and staff members of this church can pray over those cards, can contact you if needed. We really just want to be able to reach out to you. Ushers, go ahead and come forward. Another thing I want to tell you guys about is team night. Everyone say team night. Everyone say team night. If you're involved in the team and you serve on a team here, thank you so much for what you do. Man, we have a night that's dedicated to you guys. We're gonna have fun. We're going to pour into you guys. That's this Wednesday. Say this Wednesday. This Wednesday we have team night. Make sure you guys are here. Go ahead and pass the buckets, guys. Go ahead and pass the buckets and collect the tithes and offerings. Ushers, go ahead. Prayer team, you guys can come up. And the last thing I want to talk to you guys about is this, is grow step two. Grow step two is over there in the old sanctuary. Now we call it the theater room right across the way. And if you're here for the first time, you've been coming a long time, you're